من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. Today, as I promised yesterday, we will go over the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was the only time that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj. It was only one time. So from that pilgrimage, people learned most of the regulations or legislations concerning Hajj. Imam Muslim recorded from Ja'far bin Muhammad, from his father, he said, دخلنا على جابر بن عبد الله. We went to visit Jabir bin Abdullah. فسأل عن القوم حتى انتهى إليه. So he asked, who are those people who are coming to visit us? So he asked about their names one by one until he came to me, he says. That's Ja'far bin Muhammad. Which shows that, you know, the isnad is very short for this hadith. It's very quick, direct to Jabir. فقلت أنا محمد بن علي بن حسين. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. He said, I am Muhammad, the son of Ali, the son of Hussein. Which means, you know, he is the grandson of Al-Husayn, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so فأهو بيده إلى رأسي. So he extended his hand to my head, and then he took apart my upper zir, فنزع زري الأعلى ثم نزع زري الأسفل, my upper button, then my lower button. So it seems that he passed his hand over his head and then he took off his buttons. He unbuttoned his upper button, then his lower button. He was a little boy at that time. وَأَنَا يَوْمَئِذٍ غُلَامٌ شَابٌ. I was at that time a young boy, maybe in his teens, that is. فقال مرحبا بك يا ابن أخي سل عما شئت. No, ثم وضع كفه بين ثدييه. Then he put his hand between my breasts. So this showed how he loved the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then he said, welcome my cousin or my nephew. مرحبا بك يا ابن أخي سل عما شئت, ask whatever you will. فسألته وهو أعمى. And I asked him when he was blind. So Jabir radiallahu anhu, he lived very long. I'm not sure to what age, but probably to the 90s. He was one of the Sahaba who lived very long after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was blind and he was told that he had visitors. So he asked who is this, and then he was told this is, he told him, I am Muhammad, the son of Ali, the son of Hussein. Muhammad is who is known as Muhammad al-Baqir, So the Shia consider him as one of their imams, but actually he's an imam of the Sunnah. But the Shia, because they changed and twisted the texts, they claim that he is their imam and that he should have been the legal heir of imamship from his father Ali, from his father Hussein. And his father Ali is known as Zain al-Abidin. So Hussein's son Ali is called Zain al-Abidin, is known as Zain al-Abidin. His grandson Muhammad is known as Muhammad al-Baqir. And his son Ja'far is known as Ja'far al-Sadiq. So all of these are great scholars, or were great scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. But the Shia claim that they are their scholars and they fabricated things against them. And Ja'far is their main scholar, claimed scholar of the Shia. So the reporter of this hadith is Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahimahullah, from his father Muhammad al-Baqir, who said that he went and visited Jabir radiallahu anh when he was very old and blind, and he asked him. So he was sitting, and Jabir, when he knew that he is the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put his hand on his chest between his breasts, and as a kind of show of love and closeness, and told him, whatever you want to ask, go ahead and ask, oh my nephew. وَحَضَرَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ. So the time for the prayer came. فَقَامَ فِي نِسَاجَةٍ مُلْتَحِفًا بِهَا. So he stood up, Jabir, wearing some kind of woven clothes or garment, and around him. كُلَّمَا وَضَعَهَا عَلَى مِنْكَبِهِ رَجَعَ طَرَفَاهَا إِلَيْهِ مِنْ صِغَرِهَا وَرِدَاؤُهُ عَلَى الْمِتْجَبِ. So it was so small that it could hardly wrap him all. Which shows, you know, how poor the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were, even many years, because this story that's being told is towards the beginning of the Amawi Khilafah, which means, 40, 50, 60 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he وَرِدَاءُ عَلَى الْمِشْجَبِ, and he had a garment on a hanger. فَصَلَّ بِنَا. Then he led us in the prayer. فَقُلْتُ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ حَجَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I told him, tell me about the pilgrimage of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَعَقَدَ تِسْعًا. So he knotted 9, which means he made with his finger the sign of 9, like you would say like this, or maybe he made this or something like this. So he showed the sign of 9, the number 9, with his fingers. فقال, and he said, إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكث 9 سنين لم يحج. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم stayed 9 years without performing Hajj. ثم أذن في الناس في العاشرة. Then he declared to the people, he announced to the people to go for Hajj, that he's going for Hajj on the 10th year. 10th year after his Hijrah. So he stayed for 9 years in Medina without Hijrah, and then on the 10th year he went without Hajj, sorry, and then on the 10th year he went for Hajj. أذن في الناس في العاشرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حاج, that he is going for Hajj. فقدم المدينة بشر كثير كلهم يلتمس أن يأتم برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويعمل مثل عمله. The large number of people, when this news became known, large numbers of people came to the Medina, all of them wanting to be led by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his Hajj, and to do as he did during Hajj. فخرجنا معه حتى أتينا ذا الحليفة. So we went out with him until we reached the place called ذو الحليفة. And we mentioned that ذو الحليفة is one of the miqats, one of the places where you make your ihram. فولدت أسماء بنت عميس محمد بن أبي بكر. So when they got to ذو الحليفة, which is, as we said, a short distance to the south of Medina, a few miles to the south of Al-Madinah, but that is the miqat, أسماء بنت عميس gave birth to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, alayhi salam wa rahmatullah. Asma bint Umais was one of the famous women of the Sahaba, and she was the wife of who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She gave birth to Muhammad, son of Abu Bakr, so she was married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. فأرسلت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف أصنع. So she sent somebody to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him, what should I do now that I gave birth? قال اغتسلي واستثفري بثوب وأحرمي. He said, take a bath and tie yourself with something like a rag. And so tie a rag around you, around so that the blood will not come out, because you know when she is still in her nifas, she just gave birth, she will be bleeding for a while, for several weeks. So he told her, tie yourself with a rag around you. So take a bath and tie yourself and perform ihrams. Declare ihram wa ahrim. فصلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم performed prayer in the masjid. And the masjid here could mean that they had a masjid there, built a masjid or an area there which considered as a prayer area at the position of ihram. Ad al-Hulayfa. ثم ركب القصواء. So, and then he rode his camel, she camel, which was called Al-Qaswa. حتى إذا استوت به ناقته على البيداء نظرت إلى مد بصري بين يديه من راكب وماش وعن يمينه مثل ذلك وعن يساره مثل ذلك ومن خلفه مثل ذلك ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أظهرنا وعليه ينزل القرآن. He said, when he rode on his camel, I looked as far as my eyes could see in front of him, and I saw people either riding or walking, all people in front of him. And I looked to the right, same thing, to the left, same thing, behind us, same thing, which means the land was covered with people going with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Hajj. عليه ينزل القرآن, and to him the Quran being revealed. وهو يعرف تأويله, and he knows its meaning. وما عمل به من شيء عملنا به, and whatever he did we would do the same. فأهل بالتوحيد, then he declared the توحيد, he stated out the توحيد, and the توحيد is the statement of تلبية. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. So he declared the tawheed for Hajj, which is لبيك اللهم لبيك. I respond to your call, my Lord. I respond to your Lord, to your call. There is no partner with you. I am responding to you. Verily, praise is for to you, all praise to you, and the favors are all from you. والملك, and the dominion, you possess everything. لا شريك لك, there is no partner with you. وأهل الناس بهذا الذي يهلون به, and the people also declared the same thing that they also now say. فلم يرد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا من. So رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم did not stop them from saying that, which means there were some other things that people sometimes said in تلبية that are reported, some of it like this and some of it slightly modified forms, and he did not correct them or tell them not to say it. السلام ورحمة الله. ولزم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تلبيته, but رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم continued to say the talbiya that we just said, which is labbaik allahumma labbaik labbaik la sharika laka labbaik innal hamda wan ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Qala Jabir radiyallahu anhu, lasna nanwi illa al hajj lasna na'rifu al umra. Jabir said, at that time we all were intending to that we are going for hajj. We did not know anything about umra. We did not know any Umrah. We did not have in our heart the intention for Umrah. حتى إذا أتينا البيت معه استلم الركن. Then when we got to the house means to Kaaba. So he skipped now the whole trip. He did not tell us what happened during that long trip from Mecca, from Medina to Mecca. All he told us is that when he entered Mecca, he went straight to the house and استلم الركن. He held to the corner, and the corner means the corner where Al-Hajar Al-Aswad, the black stone, is. So he held it And then faramala thalatha. And then he ran for three times. He ran around it for three times. Ramal means, or ramal means a brisk walk, or a walk that is, it's faster than a walk. It is somewhere between a walk and a run. Naam? But that's for a horse, I think. Right? Almost jogging, you know. He jogged for three times, and then he walked the other four. So the sunnah is, when you go to Hajj, to run three times and walk four. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Now, of course, this is you'll find that it is not possible, especially in Hajj. Maybe during Umrah it's somewhat possible sometimes, but in Hajj it's impossible to run because people are so jammed together. Maybe in some places you can walk a little faster when you find some gap, but usually this is not possible these days. ثم نفذ إلى مقام إبراهيم. Then he went to the maqam of Ibrahim عليه السلام. فقرأ واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى. He recited the ayah which Allah Azza wa Jal says, what means, and take of the maqam, of the standing place of Ibrahim, a prayer place. And maqam Ibrahim, you'll be able to see it and distinguish it clearly for those who have not been there before, because now they have a small kind of glass encasement built around it. And that's the only thing that you see in the middle of the, as-salamu alayhi wa rahmatullah, of the courtyard around Al-Kaaba, the space around Kaaba. Maqam Ibrahim now. They removed everything else. So he went to Maqam Ibrahim, and he faja'ala al-maqama baynahu wa bayna al-bayt. And he made that maqam, the standing place of Ibrahim, between him and the house, and Al-Kaaba that is. فَكَانَ أَبِي يَقُولُ. And my father used to say, وَلَا أَعْلَمُهُ ذَكَرَهُ إِلَّا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Now who is Abi? I think maybe Ja'far is saying that his father Muhammad said that, I don't think, but that Jabir has mentioned this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used, or he read in the two rak'at, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ and قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. So you face Al-Kaaba, but between you and Al-Kaaba there is something which is Maqam Ibrahim. Yeah, so you are facing Al-Kaaba. Let's say Kaaba is in this direction, and so you have something between you and it. That's Maqam Ibrahim. You pray facing the Maqam Ibrahim, and beyond it facing Al-Kaaba. That's how he did. And he prayed two rak'at. And also this, you'll find that it is almost impossible to go there and pray, because only one or two people can pray there. And if you say one prays behind the other, you can have 10 people at most, or 20. But you find that it is not possible to stand usually there. So any place other than that where you can pray two rak'at is good. And you read, he read in the first rak'ah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, and in the second rak'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And I'm not sure if he read them in this order, because that's what the hadith says, even though they are out of order that way, because قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ comes before قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ in the Qur'an. Then he went back to the black stone. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَى الرُّكْنِ فَاسْتَلَمَ. And he held it. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ إِلَى الصَّفَى. Then he went out to As-Safa. He went out to As-Safa, which means outside Al-Haram. To As-Safa, the mountain of As-Safa. Now, they have made the modifications over the years for Masjid Al-Haram, so that even the mount of As-Safa and Al-Marwa are within Al-Haram, within Al-Masjid. The two mountains are inside the Masjid. But in the past, they were outside. So he went out to As-Safa. When he came close to it, فَلَمَّا دَنَا مِنْ صَفَى قَرَأَ, he recited, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Verily, Safa and Marwa, the names of the two mountains, are of the signs of Allah. مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. I start with what Allah started with, which means in the ayah Allah mentioned Safa before Marwa. So that is why he is starting by Safa before Marwa. فَبَدَأَ بِالصَّفَى. So he started by الصَّفَى, a mountain, as we said, small mountain outside al-Haram. So فَبَدَأَ بِالصَّفَى فَرَقِيَ عَلَيْهِ, and he mounted it حَتَّى رَأَ الْبَيْتِ, until he was able to see al-Kaaba by mounting on the mountain. فَاسْتَقْبَلَ الْقِبْلَ, and he turned his face towards al-Qibla, towards Kaaba. فَوَحَّدَ اللَّهَ وَكَبَّرَ وَقَالَ لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. So he faced the Qibla and وحد الله, which means he said لا إله إلا الله وكبره والله أكبر, and then he said لا إله إلا الله وحده, there is no God, true God except Allah alone without partners, to him belongs the dominion and to him is all the praise and he is capable of everything, there is no God but Allah alone. He fulfilled his promise and gave victory to his servant and defeated Al-Ahzab, the confederates, by himself, alone by himself. ثم دعا بين ذلك, and then he made dua after that. قال مثل هذا ثلاث مرات, and then he performed, after he said this ذكر, then he made dua facing the Qibla, then he made dua and then he said it again, and he made dua and then he said it a third time. ثم نزل إلى المروة, then he descended from that mountain, going towards Al-Marwa, the second mountain. And between the two mountains is about half a kilometer, about a quarter mile or a little over, one third of a mile between the two mountains. حَتَّى إِذَا صَبَّتْ قَدَمَاهُ فِي بَطْنِ الْوَادِي, until when the decline stopped and he became in the bottom of the valley, سَعَى, he started running. حَتَّى إِذَا صَعَدْنَا, until the valley stopped and started to end and the incline started again, so he started rising on the other side toward the other mountain. حَتَّى إِذَا صَعَدْنَا مَشَى, so he started walking instead of running until he got to the mountain of Al-Marwa. And nowadays, of course, all what you see is just little remains of the mountain. Otherwise, it is all built over it with marble and things like that. And you can still see more of the remains of the mountain on Safa than on Marwa. You just see very little rocks left. Everything else is covered, but you still have to rise to Al-Safa and Al-Marwa. And where is it that used to be flat valley is not visible anymore, so the only way you can determine it is by the sign that they have put. They have put green wide marks on the ground and green lights on the sides which tell you where you stop running, you start running, and where you stop and start walking instead. Safa and Marwa, they're supposedly mountains.
They were bigger on the
I don't think they chopped them. They were mounds because they are rocky, made of rocks. And they are mounds.
It's not
a big high mountain, yeah, it is. Yeah, but they call it Mount of Safa and Mount of Al Marwa. But they are not what you think, like very high mountains. Each one probably about 50 at most feet high, maybe less than that. Especially Safa. Safa seems to be higher than Al-Marwa, unless, you know, the incline towards Marwa is so slow that you probably do not feel that you want so high. Okay, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So when he reached Al-Marwa, he did the same as he did in As-Safa, which means what? He went up until he was able to see the Kaaba, and then he faced the Qibla. So which means he turned away from Kaaba, or he what? Qibla is the same as Kaaba. I'm trying to see if you are paying attention. So he faced the Kaaba, and then he said, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, La ilaha illallah wahdahu, anjaza wa'dahu wa nasara 'abdahu wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdahu. And then he made dua same way, and then he said it again, and he made dua, and then he said it a third time. We already did. It's time for Iqama, so we try to stop soon, inshallah. We finish the Sa'i so that your Umrah will be complete, otherwise it'll be half Umrah. So he finished this, and then he went down to Safa, and then same way, when he got to the bottom of the valley, he ran, and then when he started rising again, he walked until he was on As-Safa, and then he said the same, he made dua. Similarly, he completed this going back and forth a total of 7 spans. So he went from Safa to Marwa, that's one time, back to Marwa 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So he ended his 7th time on Marwa. Okay. ثم نظر مروة حتى إذا كان آخر طوافي على المروة فقال. Then when he reached the last time on Al-Marwa, he said, لو أني استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت لم أسق الهدي وجعلتها عمرة. He said, were I to do things over, were I to see things that, or to be able to do things now that I have behind my back, which means that I have already done, I would not have brought the animals with me, the sacrifice animals with me, the hadi, and I would have made this a umrah instead of hajj. I would have made it a umrah. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ لَيْسَ مَعَهُ هَدْيٌ فَلْيُحِلْ وَلْيَجْعَلْهَا عُمْرًا. So whoever did not bring hadi, sacrifice, with him, then let him end his ihram and consider this a umrah, which means that's the end of the umrah. So if it was not that he brought the animals with him, he would have done that, but he cannot. But for whoever did not bring the animals with him, that is what he should do. He commanded them. فقام سراقة بن مالك بن جعشم فقال يا رسول الله ألعامنا هذا أم للأبد. سراقة بن مالك بن جعشم asked him, Oh Allah's Messenger, is this only this year or to the end, to the abad? فشبك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصابعه, sorry, not this way as I was showing, but this way, واحدة في الأخرى, وقال دخلت العمرة في الحج مرتين. He said it twice, لا بل لأبد أبد. He said دخلت العمرة في الحج, دخلت العمرة في الحج, لا بل لأبد أبد. So he said Umrah has become part of Hajj until the end of time. So we'll stop here, and that ends the part of Umrah in Hajj. And inshallah we continue the hadith of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tomorrow, what, Friday? Tomorrow if Allah wills. There is definitely cutting the hair or shaving it. That is required at the end of Umrah. But inshallah we come to this tomorrow. Jazakallahu khair. Hada subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فإن خير الكلام كلام الله, وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, وشر الأمور محدثاتها, وكل محدثة بدعة, وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد, I have here a summary of the acts of Hajj. Inshallah, you can. It's like an overview, a quick overview of Hajj from A to Z. And, you know, we probably are covering or have covered a lot of it, and we continue to cover more. So, you can go over it for yourselves. It's from an old issue of the Jum'ah magazine, I believe, a few years back. So it tells you briefly what you do in every place in Hajj. From A to Z, you follow the first side, and then the second side goes from the bottom, N O P Q up to Z, going back home. So here's one more copy if anybody wants a copy. And here I have a replica of Al-Haram for those who have not been there, get an idea of how it looks like. Have you been there? So you know how it looks like. Have you been there? No. Okay. So this is what you were talking about before when you mentioned Sa'i, or running between the two mountains or mounts of Safa and Marwa. Safa is here, and as you can see, I don't know if it's clear from your side, that this part now is under the same building, which is called Al-Haram. All of this building is called Al-Haram, the sacred house or the sacred mosque of Mecca. As you see, in the middle of it is Al-Kaaba, and then around it is where people make their tawaf. This courtyard, or the open space, is called Sahan in Arabic, and that is where mostly, if it's not crowded, people prefer to be here, of course, because then the circles are smaller and you can do your tawaf faster. And on one side of Al-Kaaba you can see a little thing that they it's supposed to be the maqam of Ibrahim. And on the other side there is something like a semicircle which is supposed to represent the Hijr of Ismail. And then there is a place here, all in very tiny detail, that is supposed to be where people go down underground for Zamzam now. And the Haram, the way it is built now, it is three levels. There is this ground level, which is, actually it's four, but the ones that you immediately see are three. This one here, which is the one level with Al-Kaaba, and then there is a second level higher, and also when it gets crowded here you find people making tawaf there, especially close to the rail that overlooks the Kaaba. And then there is the top level, or the roof. So people also make tawaf here. And also for Sa'i, running between Safa and Marwa, is done on all three levels. The top level, the middle level, and the ground level. And you go from one level to the other by elevators or by escalators, or you can use stairs as well. So they have stairs, they have elevators, and they have escalators. Do they have elevators?
Yes.
Yeah, they have elevators too. They have elevators, escalators.
Also,
escalators, electric escalators. So they have the elevator, the escalators, and the regular stairs, of course. So that's basically how the Haram is structured, and there are gates all around where you can get into it, so it's not like there's a limited place. So usually when people finish their Umrah here at Al Marwa, if they leave from this door here at this end next to Al Marwa, then you'll find there are a number of barber shops where you can go and have your hair cut or shaven as you want. And what else? On the side of Safa here, there is a place, I think, on which level? Maybe on all, maybe on both, two levels maybe, where you can rent a wheelchair. Outside now?
Yes.
No, not
from
outside.
From outside you can take it free.
Ah.
There is some free, if you want it free.
But in Hajj probably you will not find the free
you
ones.
You will not find them, of course.
Like so.
In the Haram, you will get someone to...
So you go, you give them your ID or your passport or whatever.
Yes, and you can get...
And then they give you one, and then you come back and give you, take your ID and pay.
Alaykum
salam. And you can also, for people who do not have anybody to push it for them, they can rent also a person, hire a person to do that for them.
A specific person they ask for.
Yeah. So it's a good business in those times.
They drug
you so fast. Sometimes they run so fast, you know, I can't believe it. They always go fast, much faster, mashallah, much faster than anybody else.
I had a question.
No. Yeah, of course. I mean, from the time the Quran was revealed, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Laysa alaykum junahun an tabtaghu fadlan min rabbikum." There is nothing wrong for you if you seek fadl from your Lord. Fadl means favor, sustenance, whatever. So there are many people who use this occasion for business. There's nothing wrong with that. Even for people who are going for Hajj, they may also use the occasion to make some business. But of course, I mean, the intention should be clear that, you know, they have the intention, the clear intention that they are going to for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if along the way they can make money to help them, help their families, then there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, and since I have this picture with me, we will be going over there more now, and we will read the hadith, continue reading the hadith that we started. But if you look at this picture here, it would be best, I couldn't reduce it, it would be best to put it on a transparency. But this diagram shows that when you come to Hajj first, number one, you get to the miqat. As we said, we already said this. And then from the miqat, you normally go straight, or as straight as possible, to al-haram, to al-Kaaba, where you perform umrah. You perform umrah, right? And umrah is performed by tawaf and sa'i, going between Safa and Marwa, and then at the end you cut your hair. Number three, before you go to Mina, these are the tents of Mina here. You wait until it is the eighth day of Dhul-Hijjah, and then you wear the ihram again. It's called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. And then you go to Mina. And you normally spend the night there in Mina, and then on the morning of the ninth, the day of Arafah, you go to Arafah, the mountain of Arafah. And then from Arafah in the evening, you go down to Muzdalifah. And that is what's called Ifadah. فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتِ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ عَنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. This masjid is supposed to be the Mash'ar al-Haram. So you go down to Muzdalifah. And then once you finish with Muzdalifah, after Fajr, the sunnah, the correct way, actually it's obligatory except for people with excuses, to pray the Fajr prayer in Muzdalifah. The Fajr prayer, and then after Fajr, you go to Mina. Now most people now don't do that. They leave before Fajr. They leave around midnight. They say they spend a couple of hours, few hours in Muzdalifah, and then they go straight to Mina. And they start throwing the stones even before sunrise, and then they go down for Tawaf al-Ifadah, So you find that this is already crowded at a time when there shouldn't be anybody, when people should still all be either in Mina or in Muzdalifah. You find that this is already crowded, the Masjid al-Haram. So there are great violations that happen, that take place in this regard, and some of them nullify the Hajj, unfortunately. So the Sunnah is to pray Fajr in Muzdalifah and then go to Mina. And then once you get to Mina, that'll be the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Eid. Then in Mina, you throw Jamrat al-Aqaba. And after that, after that you can cut your hair, and there is no one throwing the Jamrat and cutting the hair and going for Tawaf al-Ifada, making Tawaf in Mecca. They do not have to follow the sequence. But once you finish with that and the Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, then that constitutes Tahallul. You finish all the rites of Hajj, and you can wear your clothes. Unless if you do two actually out of the three things, then you have you can make the halal, which means you end your ihram, but you have to finish the third as well before the sunset of the day of Eid. And then after that, one has to go back and sleep in Mina. And on the following day, the second day of following Eid, you go back, you are in Mina, you throw the Jamarat, the three at Al Kubra, Al Wusta, and Al Aqaba. And then you do the same on the second day and on the third day. So for three more days you throw the stones, and then after that you can leave. Most people make ta'jil, which means they make the throwing early, which means they finish everything on the second day after Eid. So Eid is the 10th, 11th, 12th, they finish everything and leave, because it's permissible to combine the throwing for the 12th and the 13th. So they do it all on the 12th. And on the 13th, you almost don't see anybody in Mina. It's almost empty. Nobody stays that late except very few people. So that's it. And then once you are done with that, you go to Mecca. If you are ready to leave, then you make Tawaf al-Wada'. That's just a Tawaf without Sa'i. You make Tawaf al-Wada'. Sa'i means running between Safa and Marwa. Tawaf means just circling around Al-Kaaba. And then that's it. You leave, you go home. Yeah. After the sun rises. Muzdalifa. No, you have to throw Jamara first. Allahu A'lam. We get to this, but I think you have to throw Jamara first, but then the other two, you can cut your hair or do the what is it? The Tawaf al-Ifada.
What are the differences in distances between?
I don't remember now, we see, but it is like probably 20 kilometers between. Well, Mina is very close. Okay. Mina is very close. Mina is like probably.
From Kabul to Arafat is 9 miles.
Right.
From Mina to Arafat is 6 miles.
From Mina to what? Arafat?
About 6 miles.
So it's about 12 kilometers. Some people walk. Some people walk, but it's a long walk, a very long walk. And Muzdalifah is, from Arafat to Muzdalifah is probably a few miles, 5 miles or maybe more.
7 miles.
Yeah, sometimes it's so crowded that walking is faster than. Yeah, it's true. Walking is much faster. For if your feet carry you and you do not suffer of the heat rash, because the problem there, especially for people who are not used for the heat, after 1 or 2 days you start suffering from heat rash on your thighs, and you can barely walk. If you do not have this problem, then of course walking is always better. And faster, I mean. Most of the time it's faster. Okay, let's continue a little bit more with the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as you were going through it. We got to the point where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Umrah has become part of Hajj until the end of time. And then وَقَدِمَ عَلِيٌّ مِنَ الْيَمَنَ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ بِبُدْنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So Ali came from Yemen. It seems that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali to Yemen to bring their sacrifices while he went to Hajj. So Ali met them in Mecca, bringing with him the camels that they want to slaughter. فَوَجَدَ فَاطِمَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا مِمَّنْ حَلَّ وَلَبِسَتْ ثِيَابًا صَبِيغًا وَاكْتَحَلَتْ فَأَنْكَرَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهَا فَقَالَتْ إِنَّ أَمِي أَبِي أَمَرَنِي بِهَذَا فَكَانَ عَلِيٌّ. Okay, so he says when he came, he found his wife Fatima رضي الله عنها has finished her ahram because she was wearing clothes that colorful clothing and has applied kuhl, some kind of eyeliner to her antimony eyeliner to her eyes. So he was surprised. He said, why did you do this? He thought she couldn't do it during Hajj. But she told him, my father commanded me to do that. Which means her father, the Prophet ﷺ, told her that she can be of those who and their, make tahallul, which means consider that a umrah, as he commanded the majority of the Sahaba, and then on the eighth day they go back into ihram. So, فكان علي يقول بالعراق فذهبت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم محرشا على فاطمة الذي صنعت مستفتيا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما ذكرت عنه. Later on, when he was in Iraq, Ali was used to tell people that I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, expressing concern about what Fatima did, and asking his opinion, or asking him if what she told, what she related of him, about him from him, is true. فأخبرته أني أنكرت ذلك عليها. And I told him that I told her that I did not agree to what she did. فقال صدقت صدقت. الحمد لله. ماذا قلت حين فرضت الحج؟ He said, you are right, you are right. What did you say when you declared your Hajj? He said, قال قلت اللهم إني أهل بما أهل به رسولك. He said, I declare the same as what your messenger has declared. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, فإن معي الهدي فلا تحل. He said, well, then I have the sacrifices now, so since you said you want to be like me, then you have to stay like me. You cannot end your ihram. You have to stay in ihram like me, which means he cannot approach his wife. His wife ended their ihram, but he has to stay in ihram. فَكَانَ, that is because he brought the sacrifices. فَكَانَ جَمَاعَةُ الهدي الذي قدم به علي من اليمن والذي أتي به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 100. قال فحل الناس كلهم وقصروا إلا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن كان معه هدي. So he says, therefore, this is still the hadith, the long hadith of Jabir. He says, therefore, all of the people ended their ihram. They became halal. And they cut their hairs, their hair, except the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever else had the sacrifices with him. فَلَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمَ التَّرْوِيَةِ تَوَجَّهُ إِلَى مِنَى. So on the day of Tarwiyah, they all went towards Mina. فَأَهَلُّوا بِالْحَجِّ, and they declared Hajj. Now the people who ended their ihram had to resume ihram now again and say لبيك اللهم بحج. So they declare Hajj. وركب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mounted on his animal. فصلى بهم الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء والفجر. So in Mina, he led them in the prayer for 5 prayers. Dhuhr, then Asr, then Maghrib, then Isha, then Fajr. Which means they spent a whole day in Mina. ثم مكث قليلا حتى طلعت الشمس. Then he waited a little bit until the sun came up. وأمر بقبة من شعر تضرب له بنمرة. And then he commanded that like a dome of hair, which means of camel hide, to be established for him somewhere in Namira, in the in Mina. Fasara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wala tashukku Quraysh illa annahu waqifun inda al-mash'ar al-haram. So he started moving sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the people of Quraysh expected that he will stop at al-mash'ar al-haram. Al-mash'ar al-haram, as we said, is the masjid in Muzdalifah. So they thought that he was going there. كما كانت قريش تصنع في الجاهلية, like the people of Quraysh used to do in جاهلية. فأجاز رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. But Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم crossed that, passed that. He did not go towards Muzdalifah. He continued on his way. حتى أتى عرفة. فوجد القبة قد ضربت له بنمرة. نمرة, I think, is the masjid in Arafah or somewhere near on the border of Arafah, right? It's between Arafah and هذا المسجد على الحدود صح؟ between Arafah, it is in Arafah but it's on the edge, on the edge of between Arafah and yeah. So that is where the dome was made for him. So he went there and he found that the dome has already been made, or the tent you can call it. So he dismounted there. فنزل بها حتى إذا زاغت الشمس أمر بالقصواء فرحلت له فأتى بطن الوادي فخطب الناس وقال. Until when the sun declined, he commanded that his animal, his camel, al-qaswa, to be prepared and the saddle put on it and so on. And then he mounted it, and then he went to the middle of the valley and he gave a khutbah to the people, that is in Arafah. فخطب الناس وقال. This is one of the famous khutab that the Prophet ﷺ said during Hajj, and I don't think we will have time to go over it. It is the one that you probably hear a lot, in which he says إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Verily your bloods and your wealth are prohibited for you from each other, like this day of yours, like this month of yours, and so on. And so we skip it now because it is time for Iqama. So we not want to start explaining it and then interrupting it. Then he says, after he said what he said, Allahumma, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. O Allah, be a witness. O Allah, be a witness. O Allah, be a witness. After he said, did I not deliver the message to you? He was addressing the people and they said yes. And he said, O Allah, be a witness. O Allah, be a witness. O Allah, be a witness. ثم أذن ثم أقام. Then he commanded that the adhan be given, then the iqama, and he prayed dhuhr, because we said he gave the khutbah just before dhuhr time. Just before dhuhr time. Now, what was that? No, actually after, right after, because he said فلما زالت الشمس, after the sun declined from the zenith. And I don't know if that was if a Jum'ah day. I tend to think that it was a Friday, and this could be the Jum'ah prayer that he was praying. The khutbah, he gave the khutbah and then the prayer. But it says Adhan of Dhuhr. They are travelers, so they did not pray Jum'ah. They prayed Dhuhr, but he did give a khutbah during Hajj, which is still, you know, the practice, still our time, that an imam would give a khutbah in Arafah, whether it is a Jumu'ah day, a Friday, or some other day. ثم أذن ثم أقام فصلى الظهر ثم أقام فصلى العصر. Then he made إقامة and he prayed عصر. ولم يصلي بينهما شيئا, which means he made جمع of ظهر and عصر, and he did not pray any sunnah in between them. Then he mounted his animal حتى أتى الموقف, and until he came to the standing place, and which means the place he chose to be standing in Arafah. So from that time to the end of the day, he was in one place making dua and dhikr. And inshallah, we can continue with this, with the rest of the explanation of the hadith of the hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tomorrow, if Allah wills. Hada wa subhanaka wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.